Was Gvatt from the 6th cello suite of Bach, played by Zuhal Bailey, who has played them in so many contexts, including in a series of 6 different concerts last year that he did in the area during the Bach Festival, and the previous year all together as one single concert. But Zuhal, who's right here, good morning, Zuhal.
Good morning.
Let's talk about some of the many ways, including very recently, that you use isolated movements of Bach cello suites for other purposes, to communicate other things, because I know you certainly do in so many different contexts. So let's talk about, in general, some of the contexts you do and maybe a few of them that you've done in the last couple of days.
Well, I assume you're talking about outreach and kids,
sure,
and,
sure,
and hospitals and,
yeah,
infants,
all,
and
yeah,
intensive care.
Yeah.
First of all, the Bach is complete music. Mm-hmm. It's a way to take an instrument like a cello into any given situation, isolated situation, and feel that the breadth of the music is as impacting as one could possibly be. So, being that there are 36 movements of these suites, and so many ranges of emotion from a saraband, Spanish saraband, to a driving prelude or an improvisational prelude, I choose and pick what. If I were to play a random movement based on the temperature of the room, and I say temperature being the temperament of the room, so the last few days here in Spokane, my goodness, yesterday was spent essentially at the hospital, and it started off by playing for the babies in the infant intensive care unit and their parents, and I found in one case I wanted to warm everyone up with the sound of a cello because it's kind of jarring at first to be in these incubators and playing for people. So I started off with a very soft saraband, kind of lulling them into the sound of a cello. And in one case, this man came out with his baby, visibly shaken, and shaken with the situation of his baby and also the fact that music was kind of affecting him. And I started slowly playing a minuet, slowly, and I found him slowly starting to dance with his daughter, and the warmth and the kind of embrace of a father and the daughter, it just really impacted me and impacted him, and it was a moment that I again will never forget, on how music sways us, guides us, embraces us and affects us to the where it affects those around us. And he couldn't even say thank you. He tried afterwards, but he couldn't get the words out because there was such a lump in his throat and tears in his eyes. And then I went to another section of the hospital and played for some young people that were having difficulties, adolescents, and showed them through music how they could shut their eyes and go to a place that was a very safe place, music that would wash through and kind of cleanse through. And I use the prelude to suite number 1 a lot because there's something so pure about it and such a kind of a new beginning. So I use Bach all the time for myself. I'm talking, you know, it's very fulfilling for myself. It's also the beginning of classical music as we know it, which is, of course, why the Northwest Bach Festival uses it as its moniker, because it is kind of encompasses all things.
Nice. And so a little bit of the Bach by which we came to know you. And so let's go ahead and, since you mentioned Northwest Bach Festival, and then we'll back up in a little bit and talk more about December, but Northwest Buck Festival, which is early March, mm-hmm. essentially this year, very late February mm-hmm. into early March. And so first talk about the Buck part of what is coming along in the festival.
Sure. Well, of course, every festival will have a flavor, a vein of Bach in some spectacular way. This year will not consist of the Bach cello suites. It will consist of the complete Bach violin partitas and sonatas by two people, Kurt Nicken and Suven Kim. Same Twilight series all over town, different places to make it very comfortable. We'll be pairing it with wine and food so people can get their fill of Bach, but then walk away, ponder it, come back the next day and try again. We'll also have the Goldberg variations.
Actually, before you go mm-hmm. on, let's talk a little more about that. Sure. So you picked two violinists to do that, I think, mm-hmm. three concerts apiece. What qualities were you looking for in violinists to do that?
People who have been dedicated to explore themselves and explore how music affects people through Bach. I typically talk to my colleagues and friends about where they are, you know, musically speaking, and in this case, both of these violinists are obsessed with Bach these days. In one case, Suven Kim will be have just finished recording them, so he'll have gone through this huge journey, and they will celebrate the release of Letting Go. And in the case of Kurt, he's getting ready to record them, so he's preparing this whole concept of the stature of this music to then present for history in his own life in that way. So that's how I chose it. I would never force Bach on someone because it's a very personal thing. Another thing that we have announced is going to be I'm going to inaugurate a new series called Flash Bach. And so I will just pop up all over town, whether it be the courthouse or the mall or random businesses, and it'll be announced on social media at the beginning of each scheduled day, and I will play Bach for the cello versions of things, and just kind of, you know, like a flash mob. This is our case, will be Flash Bach. Other things that we're going to be doing are inviting the Catalyst String Quartet in to do a residency, and they're going to be pairing the Glenn Gould String Quartet with the transcription that they made of the Bach Goldberg variations.
And that's appropriate since so many of us, you know, a central part of our life was Glenn Gould
yes.
and the Goldberg variations.
And it's an incredible journey to hear the mind of a man as a composer and then the person who actually defined him in many ways, which is Bach. Of course, I'm talking about the mind of Glenn Gould. So that's a terrific residency. Of course, we'll have Schubert and we'll have Schumann and, mm-hmm. and lots of other modern music throughout sure. the week as well. The pianist Awadajan Pratt, a glorious friend of mine, wonderful, wonderful artist, is coming to give a recital, as well as to join me and Suven Kim for our final concert with Piotr Gajewski, conducting the Beethoven Triple Concerto, along with other symphonic works where we will gather musicians from all over the region to join us for that. It's a feast of riches, kind of Bach-centric, but of course by no means all Bach.
Yeah. My guest Zul Bailey, who is with us here and has been doing this these days of outreach here, and you mentioned you were at the hospital yesterday, and I guess you played for school this morning.
Yes.
And doing a few things like this. Let's do this. Let's take a little break and hear just a little bit of Brahms.
Oh, I think it's. I have an idea.
Okay, what's your idea for real quick?
One of the pieces that I play for the children mm-hmm. that to ask them to explore where music takes them in their own world by shutting their eyes is the Brahms Lullaby. Mm-hmm. And it's the last track.
Perfect. Let's.
And it is a really wonderful way to escape. So if the listeners want to feel what I did with the children today and yesterday, including the hospital, this is an experiment I also like to implement to show where we can escape through music.
Thank you.
Zulbeli playing the famous Brahms lullaby, but significantly not just Zulbeli, but with Awadaj and Pratt.
That's right.
Yeah, who
will be featured at the next Bach Festival here in Spokane.
Yeah, great. And he's been here a few times. I remember when he first came to town to play with the symphony, it was, I think, the Beethoven Second Concerto, and people just walked away utterly astounded.
Sure.
And then my other favorite story about Awadaj and Pratt, and I think maybe we need to recreate this, is that when he was at the festival at Sandpoint, I saw him as a really fierce ping-pong player, but you say you can hold your own against him?
I think that you could fairly say that.
So maybe during the Bach Festival, maybe one of our ancillary events will be a ping-pong competition.
Yeah, that should definitely go down.
You do like outreach, don't you? You like to get to alternative audiences?
Yes.
We might even make the Bach Festival on the sports page.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Anyway, and you make all these trips to town. We had you for the Mozart concert with that wonderful guitarist that you brought in. Let's talk about that for a minute, because you were just about to make your recording of cello and guitar. So how did the recording go?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was an incredible experience, and also having just shared it with Spokane, we played the Schubert Arpeggioni, the Faya Suite Populaire, the Gluck Melody, the Paganini Variations, a piece by David Leiser himself called Twilight Streams, Sans the Swan. It's a terrific, terrific recording, and also a nice way of exploring the sounds of a guitar and a cello. And so we recorded it, and I've already heard some of the playbacks, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful sounding recording. It'll be coming out next year, and I would actually like to try to release it here in Spokane, since we, at the 11th hour, ran it for everyone here. But, you know, throughout the year, as you know, I try to come back here and as much as possible. One of my goals was to bring the arts and outreach and music consistently to Spokane, not just during the festival, but also give an interesting perspective so people can hear things differently. You know, as far as the concerto format with the symphony, first of all, there are enormous amount of concertos out there that are not played, primarily because when people program, they want to bring a certain vibe, and as far as cello is concerned, they hire a Dvorak concerto or a Haydn C major concerto or an Elgar or these kinds of pieces. But in December, we're giving a special presentation, almost a concerto redux, concerto celebration, where I'm showcasing three concertos that are underplayed in public. The Haydn D major cello concerto, the Sessant's Concerto No. 1 in A minor, which is sometimes considered a student work, but very rarely seen played by professionals in public. Intermission in the Prokofiev Sinfonia Concertante.
That's a hard song, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the story.
It's definitely
that.
A hard song.
Yeah.
And it was created to be unplayable. And so I always like for people to come away from, including myself, of course, kind of changed in a completely different perspective, kind of challenging people. And so I think that this special event in December with the pianist Elizabeth DeMio, who will be joining me from Cleveland, will be an experience for everybody, and they'll walk away having heard, in most of the cases, the composer's reduction of 100 people into a piano part, which is a very different animal. So that's one of the things I'm going to be doing here, one of the many things in December I'll be doing here, but also, of course, announcing really the true details of the Bach Festival in February and March.
Sure, as they come in. And so you're doing it with piano, and that's a really big job for the pianist, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Many of the pianists that you have featured with me on recordings, including Awadajan and Simona Dinnerstein, have said how painful, how awkward, how unnatural it is to play orchestral reductions in this regard. And they have, you know, limitless technique and facility. They are really difficult, and there's a total art form to doing that, to pulling off an entire orchestral score with 10 fingers. And there are very few people that I've actually heard really capable of doing that, and this is why we're flying in Liz DeMio from Cleveland Institute of Music, because this is what she does. She is the staff performer at the Cleveland Institute, with all the students playing these reductions and mastering them. And so, of course, we have set the bar very high to make sure everybody knows when they come to the Northwest Bach Festival, they hear it simply the best.
Nice. Zulbeli with me on his visit that he's making to Spokane this week. And then let's see. What are some other projects you have going in the next few months?
Well, I'm steadily on tour. Mm-hmm. A lot. And in fact, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I found myself for the day in Cape Town, South Africa. It took me 30 hours to get there, and I was there for 20, and then 30 hours back. So that's just like, be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. Lovely time for the time I was there. I'm essentially on tour until next summer. Mm-hmm. The next big projects that are coming up, I am slated to release the Nico Muhly Cello Concerto. It's the world premiere recording of it, and the Shlomo by Bloch. We could actually maybe do a preview of that here in December, because the slated release is January. And in April, I'm making two more recordings of the Prokofiev Symphonie Concertante, mm-hmm. With the North Carolina Symphony, and the Michael Dougherty Cello Concerto with the Nashville, Tennessee Symphony.
Has that been recorded before?
No, in fact, I'm world premiering it, and they're recording the world premiere. It's being written right now, and it's on the life of Ernest Hemingway. So it should be very interesting with all of the Latin rhythms and adventures in the music. Michael has explained to me what his concept is, and it should be incredibly exciting.
He's a known quantity here. You know that the Spokane Symphony commissioned him.
Oh, that's great.
To do a Letters from Lincoln piece that he did on Lincoln's 200th birthday, and with Tom Hampson singing it, an extraordinary piece, and the most amazing tuneful setting one could possibly imagine of the Gettysburg Address, in which it's just an absolutely lovely aria.
Well, he came to hear me play in Detroit in May and never heard me live before, and he came out and discussed with me that he was so grateful that my concept of the cello being so vocal that it was at the forefront of my priorities. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to make that a as you're saying, in his other music, his priority. So he's going to splash rhythms everywhere, along with hopefully a vocal line that is singable and accessible.
Nice. And so that we'll look forward to all those things. And then your regular festivals, because you have kind of your El Paso festival is really busy. And
yes, it's
January,
all of January.
February.
All of January. Yeah. And then I go to Alaska for a week and do some residency work there and performances. And then I'm guest hosting in Mesa, Arizona. I'm their guest artistic director for 2 years. So I kind of go there and make sure that, I don't know, that music's exciting and that I'm helping with how to bring people there. In fact, I'm bringing Emily Bear, the young 11-year-old prodigy that was discovered by Quincy Jones, there to be showcased. And then, of course, the Bach Festival and you know.
A busy life.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. Well, we had a real treat last year to hear that you play this piece live at the Barrister Winery, as I remember. So set us up for the Benjamin Britten Cello Sonata and your recording of that.
Well, Benjamin Britten's music, if you don't know it, if you were to start with the cello symphony, you would I think be very overwhelmed by how to grab onto it, the cello symphony for cello and orchestra. And the reason why is because, in my opinion, his music isn't necessarily melody-based. It's based on creating emotion and feeling at any given moment and taking you on a kind of a journey of color and these kinds of things. I learned the cello symphony first, and then I learned the sonata second. He actually wrote the sonata first and the cello symphony. So he evolved from a very pure standpoint for cello and piano, which kind of mirrored his friendship with Rostropovich. And that was the piece that he was inspired to write for him, the great Russian cellist. So the first movement is aptly described and noted as being dialogue. So it's just a back and forth kind of trying to understand how a dance might work with people talking and communicating. And then he started realizing, of course, with Rostropovich's enormous technique, what he could do. So the second movement is like pizzicato, and then the molto perpetuo, and then scherzo. And I think that if you kind of go into listening to a piece like this as just letting it take its course and don't try to project a melody or what might happen next, you'll find yourself going through a gambit of emotions that is unnatural for you on any given day. And that was the experience of playing it and also making the recording and getting to know his music. And I quite frankly find his music very addicting once you step into that world and allow yourself to be comfortable in it.
And so this is the performance that you did with Natasha Peremski.
That's
who
right.
Came to town with you last December and when you played it here. The Sonata in C Major for Cello and Piano, Benjamin Britten music, Azul Bailey and Natasha Peremski. Thanks for dropping by KPBX.
Thank you, Vern. Always a pleasure.